If you like to understand interesting concepts in science and math, but you lack algebra, trig, and calculus, you're going to love this talk. It has been said we as scientists stand on the shoulders of giants. My reason for resorting to animation is to try and stand on some of the shoulders of these scientists that have developed all these wonderful computer tools we have to show you in a very painless way how a sine wave is formed and how it relates to pi and a number of other things. I provided you two animations to do this. They don't work on all browsers, and I hope you manage to see them. Having said that, I just assume that you've seen them, and I'm just going to go right on along with it. The notion that rotational measure can be plotted horizontally along the x-axis, while the vertical height of a fixed-length rotating vector is used as a projection to plot the y-axis, what you get is a plot of voltage as the sine function of the angle. Now, they refer to the second plot, the one that I've got drawn out horizontally, as 0, 180 degrees, and 360 degrees. Everybody's familiar with degrees, so I put degrees in my animations. In electronics, you use radians, which I'll get into in a little bit as to why that's the case. If you... That plot, even though it's actually... I hate using this word because it's maybe not quite right. Angular domain, whereas the other one is perhaps maybe frequency domain. But if you assign units to a full rotation that are based in time, okay, if we specify the fixed length of the rotating vector in radians per second, in other words, that's the rate that it rotates, now you have a time attached to it. This allows us to think of an AC voltage changing through time according to the sine function. If the rate of rotation is 2 pi radians per second, which is just a fancy way of saying 360 degrees per second, the period of time to complete a full rotation is, the period is then referred to as 1 second. The frequency is said to be 1 cycle per second. And then, like I say, standing on the shoulders of giants, we honor them. We honor Heinrich Hertz. We officially call this 1 hertz. In other words, if you had a sine wave that made a full cycle in 1 second, we call that 1 hertz. Frequency and the period of the cycle are reciprocals of each other. That is, a cycle whose period is 1/10 of a second has a frequency of 10 hertz. A cycle whose period is 1/60 of a second, or the period is 16.666, and it goes out forever as a repeating decimal, milliseconds, has a frequency of 60 hertz. This is the frequency of your wall socket if you live in the U.S. Electricity travels nearly the speed of light, about 186,000 miles per second. Pretty quick. I don't think many race cars get anywhere close to that. At 60 hertz, if you were to freeze time and you had a pair of wires 3,100 miles long and you froze time and it's been carrying 60 hertz AC on these wires and you went out there with your meter and as you walked this long 3,100 mile long stretch of wires and took your meter and measured each point along the way, you would measure frozen in time each one of the points along a 60 hertz sine wave. Okay, it takes time for electricity to propagate either through wires or for that matter as an electromagnetic wave transmitted as a radio signal. And interestingly enough, although you don't think of 60 hertz as being a radio signal, every AC signal is a radio signal and it radiates off into space. It doesn't do a very effective job of it because its frequency is so incredibly low. And another interesting note is, just maybe keep this in your mind, it's not real important. The U.S. is nearly 3,100 miles long from east to west coast. If not for a facility in the middle called the East-West Interconnect, you would have a situation where somebody had a power station in New York City trying to transmit power to Los Angeles, which is desperately in need of it these days. It would be delayed by one whole cycle. Now, this gets kind of interesting when you consider the fact that not only are there generator stations in New York, but all over, dotted all over the map, and the fact that the U.S. is actually on a round, curved surface, namely the Earth, it creates a three-dimensional delay from each one of these points, and they have to be synced up. And it makes for a real interesting conversation as to how electricity is bought and sold over the vast network that we have created, the electric grid. But that's not the subject of this. I just wanted to kind of tease you with a little bit of an interesting side note there. An oscilloscope is an electronic device used to make it possible for you to see an electrical waveform, not just sine waves, although they do that quite admirably. And the way an oscilloscope works is it graphs for you what the right-hand graph on both of these animations that I show you. It graphs something representative from zero proceeding from the left to the right to some maximum interval of time. And the way it does this is there's a cathode ray tube, has an electron gun way back at the long end of the neck where the electrical connector, you know, provides all the signals. And the electrons travel down the length of the tube and strike the phosphor at the other end, which is charged with what's called the second anode. And in the electrons flying down to the end to impinge on the center of the tube, that would be kind of a boring device if that's all it were. But there are electrostatic deflection plates inside the tube that are aligned both horizontally and vertically, such that they can bend this beam of electrons that's coming out. And so whenever it strikes the surface of the tube, they can sweep it from the left side of the tube to the right side of the tube at an electronically controlled rate. They have an oscillator in there that creates a ramp that the voltage sweeps from left to right and then jumps back very fast, and usually they turn off the beam while it's jumping back so that you don't see a funny retrace. And it's also not only being bent horizontally back and forth, but also the input signal that you provide the oscilloscope, that signal that you're trying to measure, deflects the beam vertically up and down, and so therefore it traces out an image on the screen that represents the waveform that you're observing. We'll get into oscilloscopes in depth later. I just wanted to touch on what they are. There are digital ones out there that completely bypass the cathode ray tube, and they do their best to try and simulate all the buttons and dials on a fancy, real oscilloscope, but the digital ones they have a lot of strange artifacts that creep in because they are digital. They're not really an analog device. All this kind of relates to pi, and it's related to AC sine waves. We measure things in radians. Quickly, what a radian is: if you take the radius of a circle and you bend it into you bend it so that it sits down at the curves, it matches the circle's edge, so that it you basically bend it into the exact shape of the roundness portion of the, and then you measure from its ends back to the center of the circle, you end up creating an arc of about 57-something degrees. I left it in your notes. It just turns out that you multiply that number of degrees or that amount of arc by exactly 2 pi, and you have a full circle. Radian measure is related ultimately to natural logarithms. I have a link in there that you can go look at if you want. It's not for the faint of heart. There's a lot of heavy math in it. It's not essential to your understanding of this at this point. You just should be aware that there is a connection between natural logarithms and things related to the charge, the RC charge, discharge curves of a capacitor. They're related indirectly through a thing called Euler's equation, which it talks about. It's spelled E-U-L-E-R or something like that. It's actually pronounced Euler. There's also a link in there talking about where pi came from. The guy who wrote the pi program that I refer to in the kind of electronic campfire discussion. A campfire is something that people sit around and chit-chat, you know, talk about old experiences of life and various things. Well, electronic campfires are the modern-day equivalent of that, chat rooms, that sort of thing. Well, anyway, we didn't have quite that sort of thing back in those days, but anyway, he wrote this program, and the derivation of pi, it was so enormously simple that I just couldn't resist writing it down, although I didn't have all the information. Later, I've corrected some of the historical mistakes by pointing you to places on the internet. He used a thing called Machen's formula. I believe that's how you pronounce the guy's name. There are lots of ways to calculate pi. As Ramanujan has a method. Gauss and Legendre are a German and French scientist that came up with a derivation of pi. There's even a derivation of pi based on Fibonacci numbers, which is really strange if you think about that. I've given you a few things that you can go check out. They're not essential for understanding, other than you may want to know why this stuff is all interrelated. Okay. At this point, you can go on to the next part of this, and I'll pick up where I left off.